I don't know. Right as I hit record, this insane urge to laugh, and I've been sitting here fighting it for those 10 seconds.
Embrace the laughter.
And I don't know why nothing funny happened.
Taste the rainbow.
Oh, all right. Well, that was full of mirth. That was mirthful. Let's actually start now. Hello again. Why do I have to giggle?
Are you okay?
I don't know. I think my Mickey D's might have been laced with something. I don't know.
Wait, did you actually eat those brownies? Those are for the bake sale.
At the old folks' home? Dude, that's messed up.
Look, they're happy.
Okay. Again, I apologize, listeners. I have no idea what's funny. All of a sudden, as soon as they hit record, I started fighting back laughter. And we were talking about depressing, horrible things right before we started. So, hey, that's what's funny. I don't know. Anyway, hello again and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. This is episode 434, because here on Monday Night Magic, see MNM 434, we dig palindromes, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm Chewy. Hi, I have the giggles for reasons unknown. Joining me this week is Clues, who is grumpy, didn't get sleep, hates everybody, and really wanted to save her pizza, but didn't.
Whoa. First of all, not grumpy. Second of all, attention magic listeners, that is time in the episode. I repeat, that is time in the episode. Currently active listener, you are listener zero. Proceed for 5 additional, I guess, listeners? I don't really know how this works.
I was going to say, okay, so not grumpy, but the rest of that is true.
Yeah, I am tired. That is true. But and I did have to eat dinner really fast to make the episode. But still, hey, here we are. Hey, how you doing?
It's grumpy. And not mossy, though. See, that's the difference.
No. Even though I am older than him, I'm not nearly as mossy.
And also, Bill is here. And I think Bill has been actually ready to record for about 2 hours now, so...
I'm going to need you to make a podcast.
Oh, that was really funny.
Sir, I'm going to need you to do something that moves this show forward.
That's right.
All right, then. Well, let's get started with some update to last week. So last week, everyone was out witch hunting for cheaters.
Yeah.
And we reported on the guy that won the Star City Open in... I already forgot. Was it Jersey? No.
I thought it was Worcester.
Worcester, yes.
It was.
Worcester, Mass. Who had been accused of some sleight of hand techniques. Well, he got a 4-year ban. And somebody, I don't know who, but God bless him, somebody saw his... Oh, it says edited. His edited Facebook post about it and screen capped it. So thank goodness, because he's apparently butthurt. Because he got caught cheating. And, you know.
That is a butthurt message.
It is quite butthurt. I'm not going to read it, because what's the point of having an image? Go to the show notes and read it. But
Hey, Clues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it count as insider trading if I just go out and buy some Preparation H stock before we post this episode?
I don't think it's really insider trading necessarily. Look, are you going to buy... like stock in the company and stock of Preparation H, or
yes.
Okay, because I think we're gonna need both.
Yeah. MTG Finance.
Oh my god!
Wrong kind of finance.
But yeah. So he was banned for 4 years, or suspended, or whatever the proper term is,
and
can't play no more.
Okay, so first of all, I don't like to comment on even closed investigations. I certainly try my best not to comment on open investigations. But let me just say that if you are investigated by the DCI and they decide that you, it is appropriate to give you a suspension of some sort, the reaction that you give after that can affect how things go. I mean, you can appeal these sorts of things. And I'm just going to say this kind of reaction, if you look at the screen cap that, that has been like, this is not really the best way to you know, argue your case.
No.
In my opinion, I'm not representing the judge program or the DCI in any way, just my personal opinion, this doesn't really seem the way to go about it.
It's like, geez, I'm sorry that I messed up, but it's not like I was out murdering people. Dude, that not the same.
Yeah, I also want to point out that, okay, as much as I love Magic, and I do, I truly, deeply love this game. I spend a lot of my quote-unquote free time traveling to and from tournaments, mostly to judge them. Being suspended from a children's card game is not the same as going to prison. Just putting it out there, those might be two very different things.
Can I just object to you calling it a children's card game real quick?
Well, I'm speaking to the public perception.
Okay. Yu-Gi-Oh joke.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No, being Ouch. Suspended from Yu-Gi-Oh might be a blessing.
Oh.
Look at all the money this man just saved. 4 years of not buying Magic cards. He's going to come out ahead of all of us.
Yeah, just saying, you know, I'm not really sure, but I think the average age of a Magic player, and I'm sure WotC has this information, so if someone from WotC is listening, could you let us know what is the average age of a Magic player these days? I'm pretty sure it's in the early to mid-20s, so yeah, the perception of a children's card game is not quite right, but...
That said, I'm really entertained that in all caps here, you have a 4-year sentence, it's a freaking card game, as in, not even with a comma in there separating the silliness of his reaction to it.
Yeah, not only that, but if it's just a freaking card, no, I won't say that, never mind, carry on.
Then why are you all butthurt about it?
No, okay. I'm not.
All right,
not,
so that's enough.
Going.
So,
I bought some prep age.
Clues, you said.
I can't help but think that you might have some sort of financial interest in that, so I don't know that you're the person to ask. But you've also cornered the market on actual supplies of it here in the greater North Carolina area. So
I am building houses and there will be hotels.
I guess I have no choice.
So, Clues, you mentioned something about mentioning the Star City.
Yeah, so immediately after it, there was a press release put out by the nice folks at Star City Games, who said that earlier today, WotC announced that they are suspending Trevor Humphreys for a period of 4 years. And more on this news in just a second for a period of, we'll get back to you. As per StarCityGames.com Open Series prize hold policy posted at, and they give a link, these suspensions will result in 100% of the prize money being donated to charity. And so, that's, I'm gonna guess that's the good that comes of this. So they have a list of charities, and it's a variety of charities that they are donating the prize money to. So, it's not like these guys are just gonna take the money and then laugh at their suspension and head off into the sunset.
I like sunsets.
So does this mean that you just don't get paid until like the end of the year? If you win Star City events.
Yeah, so let's go take a quick look at the prize hold policy. So, according to Star City Games, in accordance with DCI policy, players under DCI investigation will be eligible to play in StarCityGames.com events. However, any player who is the subject of an open DCI investigation will have his or her StarCityGames.com prizes and all other benefits held until the conclusion of the event investigation. In the event that a player is suspended, all prizes and other benefits earned during that period will be donated to charity. So, if they know that there's an active investigation, that's the way it works. And I will say, if I'm not mistaken, for Star City prizes, anything above a certain threshold, you're mailed a check rather than given your prize at the event. Anything below a certain value is just given out at the event. So, you know, anybody who's in like a top 8, you're looking at getting mailed a check no matter what. And I'm pretty sure that's the way GP prizes work as well, that you are mailed your prizes directly from WotC. So, I'm sure that they have a similar policy written out somewhere that involves DCI investigations.
Yay, WotC.
Okay. I wasn't sure if like Evan Irwin actually just shows up with a giant check and knocks on your door or...
Yeah, strangely enough, he's dressed as Ed McMahon at the time.
That's unrelated.
Too soon, man. Too soon. He is dead, right?
Ed McMahon?
Yeah.
I believe so, but I was just making a publisher's clearinghouse joke here for those who aren't on the same page. out there in listener.
For those of you over the age of 30 and know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. You
thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But I am going to need us to make a play. So how about the next little bit of news here that ties into this, in fact?
So the next little bit of news is that not only was Trevor Humphreys, right?
Yes,
Trevor suspended, Humphreys. But when DCI or when Wizards updated a suspended DCI memberships, a familiar name and object of a fair amount of ridicule was also on it. And that is one Alex Burton-Cheney.
Indeed.
That poor guy just can't catch a break, probably because he keeps cheating. So, we don't actually know any specifics behind Burton-Cheney's banning, but he got, what did he get, 3 years?
Three years, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, now, we don't actually know what happened, but there it is. So,
Now, I will note that on this list, there are some people who have lengthy bans, if you want to look at, or lengthy suspensions, if you want to look at the dates.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is a quirk of the software, but for instance, there's an individual who has a suspension until the year 2099.
Well, they get worse.
I don't know what this guy did, but he has a suspension until 9,999, specifically December 31st of that year. So he's got to wait all the way to the end of the year for that one. I suspect for lifetime bans, this is what they do, that the software has no way to denote a lifetime ban, so just set it to a very large number.
Yeah.
I like to think that the 2099 thing is a Marvel reference, but for the other one, yeah, they just hit all the RAM.
Yeah.
Somehow I doubt it's a Marvel reference, though. And that makes me sad.
This is a publicly available list that does get updated periodically, so if you're ever curious as to who's actually been suspended and who hasn't, there you go. By the way, another question that does come up with these sorts of things is, okay, great, so they're suspended, but how would you know? Well, hey, you know that DCI number that you all get? Yeah, the whole point of that DCI number is to track your points and your history and your penalties, those sorts of things. So if you are suspended, this list is accessed by the tournament software. Oh. And if you try and enter someone who is suspended, it won't let you. And so then you might ask, oh, well, what if they just get a new number? That is something they can do, although it is expressly forbidden by the DCI. And that in it of itself is a violation of the Magic Tournament rules. And we'll get you suspended. Now you might say, but they're already suspended. Well, look, people tend to know who these people are. I mean, unless they're going to, you know, put on a fake mustache and fly to the other side of the country so they can play in FNM, it's probably not going to work out well for them in the end. So word gets around. We typically know who the high profile ones, particularly.
They'll probably also just look at your actual name and then look at the list, which you can control F.
Yeah.
If you actually make anything of substance of it, so don't worry about it.
Oh, you thought my name was John. No, it's Han with an H. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's my cousin.
Yeah.
So for a second there, I really thought you were going to do a Jean Valjean joke and have his DCI number be 24601, but you didn't.
I didn't. I'm sorry. You're right. I should have.
I don't get it. So... Yes, I get it. Shut up.
Literacy.
Just because I've never read or watched or cared about Les Mis doesn't mean I don't get the joke.
But have you ever seen the Key and Peele sketch? With
I'm going to need you to make a play.
Okay, I'm just saying, for those out there, just go Google Key and Peele one at a time. If you have any interest in Les Mis, you'll find it hilarious. Okay, so moving right along. Oh, the Burton-Cheney one does relate back to the previous note about Star City Games. They donated his stuff too.
Yeah. So while you might think that people should just, you know, get bumped up and have prize money redistributed, no, they just give it to charity.
Yeah, the problem is it's really hard for them to just bump everybody up. And you might say, oh, but aren't they just mailing out checks anyway? Well, okay, that works for the top eight. What about the guy in like 9th or the guy in 16th who actually just got paid out at the event? Now we got to try and track him down, get him money. It's really tricky. I see why they do it just from a logistical standpoint. In a perfect world where, let's say Star City Games has your name, address, phone number, email address, where they have all of your information and they can get Evan Irwin to just drop by your house and give you the extra $5 that they owe you because you moved up in the rankings.
With a giant check.
With a giant check, which, by the way, are really hard to take to the bank. Have you ever stood in line with one of those?
So, I wish.
I haven't either, but boy, I'd like to try. So hey, if somebody wants to give me a giant charity check, that'd be awesome, I guess. Except now that I've said that out loud, someone's going to try and send me a check for like 30 cents.
That'd still be awesome.
It'd be interesting, I suppose. Anyway.
Moving on again. I like the way Clues is the one who's like, I really want to sleep. Can we hurry this episode up?
I know.
He has yet
I know.
To take a breath.
And I also want to point out that keep listening, folks. Eventually we talk about things that aren't horribly depressing. Not yet, yes. though.
No, right now. For a bit of added humor about this whole thing, Brad Nelson posted a screen cap of a quick Facebook conversation he had with Alex Bertoncini that I highly recommend everybody read because it is hilarious.
Yeah.
Bill will back me up on this. Bill knows.
Yeah, it's funny. I was really entertained when I saw it, and it's even funnier coming from Brad Nelson.
Because it's Brad Nelson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have expected him to do that, but it was funny.
Yeah. So, again, check the show notes or Brad's Twitter. You know, one of those things will be fine. Burp. Let's see, there was more about cheating. Oh, Watsy released a suitably vague, you know, we want sportsmanship and blah da 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 in words and
now,
official sounding
look,
things.
I actually would like to take issue with this being labeled in the show notes as suitably vague. Well, of course it's suitably vague. Have you ever interacted with the Watsy lawyers on anything? Or have you ever noticed how everything gets watered down terribly because of the Watsy lawyers? They are a corporation. They have to be very careful with what they say out loud.
Yes. Thus,
so this is
suitably vague.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what do folks expect?
Yeah, but it's the general, well, we want things to be good and everybody to have fun and shut up and play magic and whatever. Okay.
Although they do raise a very, very valid point in their quote-unquote suitably vague statement. The vast majority of magic players are honest and not cheating.
Right.
Like far and away, the vast... I know we've had a couple of very high-profile things happen in a row here. These things happen, you know, typically when something big like this happens, they take a closer look at some other things they've seen or other things they've heard or more things come to light or remind somebody, oh, yeah, I think that guy was doing X, and it gets mentioned. So, yeah, these things can blow up from time to time. But again, the vast majority of Magic players are honest, and I will prove it with some heartwarming stories a little later on, but not yet. That's
well,
a teaser. Let's cut to commercial.
Bully for you, sir. So, next up, of course, since the witch hunt has gone on, people have started to come forward with more allegations and look at all these videos and whatnot of other people, most notably Rookie of the Year, or he hasn't gotten it yet, but he's locked it, right?
That sounds right.
I don't know when they hand that stuff out. He might have already claimed it. But whatever, Jared Botcher is the most recent recipient of all this. And, yeah, I have no response to that. There's lots of videos and animated GIFs of people who are trying to say, look, he's a cheater too. I'm going to try not to get caught up in it this time like I did last time. So, yeah. But the link is in the show notes to the Reddit thing. Because goodness knows, that's what Reddit's for.
GIFs.
Yeah,
yeah,
mostly
we'll go
GIFs.
With that. But, yeah, so, because of this, a couple of things have popped up. Clues, in particular, sent me a link to a video on YouTube, How to Avoid an MTG Cheater, where a helpful dude who knows how to do some sleight of hand is explaining what it was that Trevor Humphreys was doing and explaining why it is not good. And how to watch out for it and stuff like that. So good on him. You know, thank you for that. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have there.
Yeah.
And then there's this primer for cheating related judge calls, which I actually did not read. Did one of you guys?
Oh, yeah, I read it.
Okay. Tell us about it.
It's pretty good. So, a couple of things come up anytime something like this happens and folks want to know, okay, I really think my opponent's a scumbag and I think he's cheating. He's doing something terribly shitty, but what can I do? Do I just, you know, accuse him right to his face there at the table? What could I possibly do? I just let it go. And you hear a lot of these things after the fact. You hear like four rounds later, yeah, that guy in round two, I'm totally convinced he was cheating. And you go, well, why didn't you call us then?
Maybe right?
Maybe we could have done something about it. So there is a post on Reddit that makes some very reasonable suggestions of what you might want to do. So I'll just breeze through them real fast. Step one is call a judge. Step two is to talk about it away from the table. You can totally do that. Most people don't realize it. They think they have to ask all their questions in front of their opponent. No, you can call the judge over and say, hey, judge, can I talk to you away from the table? If you think your opponent, it might tip off your opponent, take your hand and go, judge, I want to ask you about one of these cards. Can I bring my hand with me? And the judge will say, absolutely. And you'll step away from the table. And then you can point at your hand as if you're talking about it, but talk about something completely unrelated. We'll know what you're doing when that happens. Won't be the first time we've seen it. And then be clear. You know, don't just say, oh, I think my opponent's cheating. Okay. Why do you think your opponent's cheating? Is it because you're losing? I mean, that's different. Okay. We all get mana screwed from time to time. But no, if you see something that you specifically want the judge to address, tell them, we'll take a look. If we don't see anything, we'll ask one of our colleagues to take a look just in case they see something we don't. We'll bring those sorts of things to the attention of the head judge because believe it or not, eventually the head judge is going to get involved in this. And just, you know, try and make a mental note of everything, you know, after the match, write down everything while it's fresh in your mind. Try and get as many specific details as possible. The longer you wait to write something down, the more likely you are to forget something. I'll also mention that, there are ways to contact the DCI Investigations Committee. I don't actually have any links to that right now. I'll try and dig some up and put them in the show notes. A really great resource for this, if people want to learn a little bit more about it, the nice folks at JudgeCast did a whole episode about this once. It was episode number 95, I believe, where they talk about the investigations process and how it works. And, you know, if you see something, you can shout about it all day long on Reddit, or you could actually tell the investigations committee, and that will actually get something done. I guess what I'm trying to say is witch hunts are not usually all that productive. They're just loud and noisy and make everybody feel bad.
Like this is very similar to what I talked about a week or two ago with Marshall Sutcliffe trying to, he wasn't necessarily defending Magic Online, but he was saying, stop getting on Twitter and bitching about it and tell them, like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You should go ahead and, you know, tell the people who ought to know. If nothing else, try and contact the head judge of the event you were in. They will totally know how to pass that stuff along. Or if you're still at the event, just go talk to the head judge. If you don't know who the head judge is, ask any judge. They can totally point you at the head judge. And we take these things seriously. We pass them on to the investigations committee. They follow up. And as you can see, sometimes the wheels of justice can grind very quickly if they have the right evidence and it gets to the right people in the right time. Sometimes they grind very slowly and it takes a while before the trigger is pulled on one of these things. But we take it very seriously. But the most important thing is we don't have a judge on every match, but there is at least one person at every match who has a vested interest to figure out if their opponent is cheating. And it's the other player. So you kind of are the first line of defense against such things. You know, here's the second line of defense. I'm just going to go ahead and throw this one out there. Social pressure does a lot. Okay. If you've got a friend and that friend is really good at stacking decks and you're thinking, oh, haha, that's real funny. And then you kind of notice, wow, they're doing really well at FNM all the time with terrible decks. How could they possibly be doing that? Okay. Maybe you should talk to your friend and raise the point that there's this thing, it's called sportsmanship. It's where we all actually play the game, right? You're here to battle in a game of Magic, not a game of who's better at cheating. There's a game for that. It's not Magic. I won't mention its name because I think that might be libel, slander, maybe both. Depends on if it goes in the show notes. So
Cards Against Humanity?
No, that's not quite right. But anyway, so those are a couple of things I'll mention. And like I said, I'll try and dig up the investigations committee contact information.
All right. So let's move on to things that aren't watching players that are winning things being cheaty-faced McBastardsons. And let's talk about Magic. Yay!
Magic. So, Tournament Magic.
There was just the one GP this week, right?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. And it was Grand Prix Stockholm, and our buddy, former co-host of the, well, not co-host, former guest on Monday Night Magic, Matej Zadelkai wins. He has been playing Magic for a very long time, and he's been a pro and a high-level player for a very long time, but he doesn't actually win much. And I get this from his Facebook statement, who's like, hey, I finally won something. I was like, what? So congrats to him. What was he? Oh, Lord, they're not in order again. What, nope. What was he playing? He was playing Jeskai Wins. Let's see. Yep, looks pretty. We're not going to spend as much time on the deck lists this week, because we spent an interminable amount of time the last couple weeks, but he's playing Jeskai Wins. It's pretty standard. This one does have Brimaz and Rabble Master, which I can't remember if the others did or not.
You don't normally see both.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, this is straight up creature going to beat your face and also burn.
Did you say creature going to beat you? Creature going to beat you, son. Okay, well, he beat Einar Balvidsson. That is a great name.
It is.
And what was he playing? Burp? He was playing... Oh, Lord, he's playing Teemer. Look at this.
Yep. Knuckleblade.
I do believe our good buddy Squee enjoys that card.
I'm happy to see it doing stuff. It was really sad watching the first, like, 3 weeks of this set and it doing nothing.
I'm pretty sure this is the third week, isn't it?
Well, I'm counting, like, the week of the Star City things up front, too.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll let you have that one.
But yeah, he's got Knuckleblades, and he's got Boonsaters. He is all about face-hitting.
Yes. So, all right. And he's still running a Sarkon, because why not? Let's see.
Well, he's running a Sarkon, and he's running a Stormbreath Dragon. None of this doubling up nonsense. He's doing both.
True.
When in doubt.
Fire?
Yeah, that sounds right, actually, to me.
Yeah, I like it. Let's see here. What's next? Third and fourth were Tiago... Ah! Wrong button! Wrong button. Tiago Rodriguez playing...
Abzan.
Okay, there we go. Wrong. I was looking at the wrong thing.
Yep.
Playing Abzan. Abzan
midrange.
Yep. Wingmate Rock. Soren. Yep.
Siege Rhino.
Imagine that nonsense.
Always happy to see the whip in the main deck.
Oh, really? Like, oh, there it is. No. Oh, there it is. Okay.
The whip's really great. It makes all those burn spells of your opponent pretty crappy. And it also lets you have more Wingmate Rocks and more Siege Rhinos and more Why Are They Not Dead Yet?
Because I said so.
Only two Thought Seize, though.
That seems a bit weird. Maybe it's just me.
Maybe it's like that thing where you give them, like, an hour head start before you hunt them down.
But the most dangerous game. It's Magic. So let's see. Moving on. Lucas Blahan is in, I guess, fourth? It's third or fourth. It's not really listed here where I can see it. Where I'm looking, and I don't want to scroll too far away from the deck list. He's playing
it looks like green-black Enchantress deck.
Yeah.
Okay, there's some black. I was like, I don't see a Brain Maggot. Okay. You love it. Shut up.
I do not.
Lies.
Have you looked at that thing?
Yeah, it's awesome.
No.
It's nice to see Farika seeing play.
Yeah, a little weird, but still nice. Basically, I don't know what she does, actually, other than...
She's the one who exiles creatures from the graveyard to make snakes.
No, I know what she does. I don't know what she does. Like, what she does in this deck.
No, you should have just stopped right there.
Yeah. Shut up.
Snakes.
Anyway, so who... And then the other four. Who are... Nope. Okay, here's Matteo... Sergliano playing another Enchantress? No. Is this another Enchantress deck? Yeah, it is another Enchantress deck. A more different Enchantress deck. Alexander Pasgard playing... Whoa, look at this. This is like Jeskai Wins spell edition.
Spells and tokens.
Sarkon, a set of Mantis Strider and Rabble Master, one Stormbreath Dragon, and then spells... Raise the Alarm, Magma Jet, Lightning Strike, Jeskai Charm, Stoke the Flames, Nullify... Huh, and Dig Through Time. Nice. That's a different take that I don't like as much, but it's not my style, so.
Well, it's got the Nullify, which are about all the stat can do to stop Siege Rhinos, so.
Hmm.
You don't get a Siege Rhino.
Oh, there's Jeskai Charm.
And no Siege Rhino for you, and no Siege Rhino for you.
Jeskai Charm is not what you want to do to stop a Siege Rhino.
Not to stop it, no, but to get it out of the way so the rest of your guys can...
So they can cast it again?
No, so they can kill him. Dang it, man. Shut up. Christian Siebold playing... This is some manner of Sidisi deck. Cool. Four whips in the main.
I can respect that.
Yeah, this is a variation of the Sidisi deck that was at the last GP that we talked about. So this is actually in the top eight. Do what? Three Hornet Queens.
Three Hornet Queen for your trouble, which in this deck is six Hornet Queen.
Yeah. Soul of Innistrad. Yeah, I like it. And then the last one, Giovanni Rossi. He's playing Mono Red Kill You.
Seems good.
Wiggle.
Can we call it that? Can we call it Mono Red Kill You? I'm gonna start that.
I don't know that WotC coverage is going to pick up on that one.
That's fine.
Red deck kills.
They'll probably call it robots.
Because they're dicks. So that's the top eight. Again, congrats to Matei. I just talked to him earlier today. He's going to be, because he's a gold level pro, he's going to be at Pro Tour Fate Reforged in DC. So I will actually finally get to shake his hand and ask him three questions. So that's going to be nice. Awesome. Yeah. Clues, you on staff for that?
For which one?
The Pro Tour.
No. No.
Dang it, man.
Sorry.
You want to go? We can go. I'm going.
Road trip.
Road trip. It's in February. I always hated the way that word is spelled. Oh, top five cards.
Top five cards.
Oh, how many people were here anyway? It's in the show notes, but I'm not. 1,043 players. Good lord, that's a lot of people. Bert, so what are the? I've lost the top five. Oh, here they are. What are the top five cards there, Mr. Guy who enjoys that?
Top five cards.
Top five cards. What?
Top five cards. Top five cards.
I completely forgot that this was reprinted.
Which one? Or gonna wait until we get to it?
The first one? Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, number five. By the way, this list is compiled by Frank Karsten, so we actually have someone to thank. Thank you, Frank Karsten. I love the top five cards. Number five, Riddle of Lightning.
I love Frank Karsten.
Riddle of Zap. Lightning.
Yeah, this is that weird one that's originally from...
Something with Scry in it. So where'd Scry originate?
I think this was in Time Spiral Block somewhere.
I was going to say Time Spiral feels right to me.
But I can't remember which set. I'm not going to look it up just for that, so sorry.
Was not worth looking up.
Yeah.
It was totally in Future Sight.
That makes sense.
That's what happens when you scry. You see the future. More on that later. Riddle of Lightning was number five. Number four, Doomwake Giant. For he sees your doom.
Or he takes care of Hornet Queen, essentially.
He stands in front of a Siege Rhino.
He can do lots of things.
Wow. He can do many things.
I'm sorry, I just realized Riddle of Lightning is stupidly good in this set with all of the massively expensive delve spells.
Yep.
That just had not occurred to me.
You know,
I was like, wait a minute, this isn't limited. What are we talking about Riddle of Lightning for?
Well, you know, God's willing, we'll make it through the rest of this list. Number three, God's willing.
Ooh. Hey.
See what I did there?
I did.
Them apples.
Okay. Number two is Whip of Erebos, because, you know, it came up a couple of times. Now, number one, not Siege Rhino, but Ashcloud Phoenix. Ashcloud Phoenix.
Because it's awesome.
When it dies, returns face down. If it dies while it's face down, does not return.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Joker.
For the most part, though, no one else has flyers, so it does 4 damage every turn.
So there you go.
Top five cards.
Top five. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. There's something else this weekend. Star City was in Minneapolis. I wonder if Rich went. Hey, did Rich go?
Rich did not go. He actually had to be out of town for, I believe, a wedding.
Oh, Rich sucks.
Yeah.
Who gets married?
yeah. Who does that? Wait a minute.
Hey.
Way to talk about his wife like that.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot.
Yeah.
My Manipool co-host Brian has a hot sister.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
She got married in Vegas last weekend. He was there. I was not. I'm sad. Anyway, so let's talk about Standard. Andrew Johnson won with Jeskai Aggro. Yay. You know, I guess. What?
I like Jeskai Aggro. I'm happy.
Look at this. Second place is just two colors. What? Second place can't be just two colors?
That's not right at all.
What do you think we're playing? Like 2000 and... wait. When was monocolored a thing?
Red Burn. Yes.
Yeah. What is this, last year? See what I did there?
You think this is a game?
And last year, weren't we in RTR block? It was no monocolored anything.
No, last year we were in Theros.
Oh.
There are clues.
Sorry.
Need to do math.
Track of, yeah. Which, by the way, the heartburn's going to be getting me real soon. I'll tell you that.
Nice.
No, the other one. So, where were we?
What? Where were we?
The two colors are blue and white.
That's it. Slow place all around.
Yeah.
Hey, I made a play.
Next up, Abzan midrange in third, a green-red monsters deck in fourth. What is this? Mardu midrange in fifth. Well, let's look at this. Oh, whoa. Butcher. Bill, this seems like something you would appreciate. Tell us about this.
All right, so what you're looking at here is, as it is a Mardu deck, one of the main interactions in Mardu that we've seen lately has been the world of dropping a bunch of tokens through things like Goblin Rabble Master, Hordling Outburst, you know, all of that kind of fun. And then also having a Butcher of the Horde out there so that he turns into his normal 5/4 whatever it takes to kill you. And in the case of this one, he's got a lot of that going on because he can also feed off Elspeth tokens. He can also technically feed off of Sorin tokens if he's, you know, in a corner. But for the most part, this is just a deck of things that cost between 3 and 5 that kill the opponent. And your requisite collection of Crackling Dunes, Lightning Strikes, a single Murderous Cut, and 3 Chain to the Rocks because it's still 4 ways to kill you. Overall, it looks like a lot of fun. I really like the inclusion of 2 Elspeth, 1 Sark, and 3 Sorin because Sorin's really good. And the interaction between Sorin and all these other cards by giving them the lifelink means that you can make the game go long if you have to, and you're probably going to win if the game goes long. So, I like it all around.
Yeah. Seems pretty good.
There's also a Chandra Pirate Master in the board, which is just neat.
Yeah. All right, moving on. A 6th place is a Teemer Monsters deck. Okay, what's blue in here? Knuckleblade.
Yep.
And Stubborn Denial. And that's it. All right. Those seem like perfectly fine options to add, though, to a monstrous deck.
It takes advantage of the Rattleclaw. It's always nice.
True. Let's see. What else? Another Jeskai Aggro deck. Another Abzan midrange deck. Moving on down, Sidisi Whip in 9th. Brett Nelson's playing White-Black Aggro. What is this? Seeker of the Way, Wingmate Rock, Herald of Torment, Brimaz, Sorin. Huh. Well, all right, then.
Mm-hmm.
That takes all of the good aggressive white and black cards and throws them all in the same deck. A set of Raise the Alarm, even.
Yeah.
Baller. Okay. Thank you, Brad Nelson. Okay, rest of the top 16. Jeskai Aggro, another Teemer Monsters, another Jeskai Aggro. Hey, look, that Teemer Monsters was Jeff Hoogland. Hey, buddy. He's a listener.
Yay.
Good on you, sir. More Jeskai Aggro, more Teemer Monsters, and an Abzan Constellation. I'm sorry, what?
Doomwake Giants for everyone.
So, okay. It's
Doom.
So it's a pretty standard Enchantress deck, but with a lot of white thrown in. Nyx Fleece Ram, Banishing Light, Suspension Field. Oh, and he's playing Extinguish All Hope.
Yeah, that feels good.
And Krovix's Insight. Okay. I like this. I was going to say, isn't Krovix's Insight a limited card?
It is. I mean, it's always going to have a spot in my heart because I can't not see a giant frog jumping at you from space every time I look at it.
Ribbit.
Yeah. Doom. It also dumps 5, up to 3 enchantment cards from among them. into your hand and the rest of the real cards in your graveyard. So at minimum, you're dropping three cards in the graveyard, which is great when you've got Farika. But you could also just straight up use this to dump six cards in your graveyard, which with Farika is still great.
Yeah.
Snakes forever.
For days, even.
Yeah. Also, when you have the four Banishing Light, three Suspension Field, and, you know, the bow, you've got eight non-creature enchantments, as weird as that is to say. And you're just going to keep firing off that Doomwake Giant for anything that doesn't get suspended or banished. So that's just awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. That was the Abzan Constellation deck in 16th by Tony Ranallo.
Oh, there's a Garrick Apex Predator on the board. Just why not?
Bonus points.
That's points for style.
Okay, so that was standard. Let's do legacy.
Legacy, where all the decks are legacy legal.
Oh, wait, we didn't mention numbers. See, that's great. You put them in the show notes, Bill, so that we can find them easily, and then we don't bother.
Don't bother, that's right. Well,
they're mainly there so that if you want them, we don't have to wait for you to find them.
So, Standard had 546 players. Legacy had 247 players battling it out. And taking first place amongst them all, Anthony Lean with Jeskai Delver, which used to be Red, White, Blue Delver, American Delver. Is that right?
America.
America, but none of this Jeskai Delver. And some of the other notable decks, because you know what's going to happen here. We're going to talk about this top eight. It's going to be Delver, Delver, Delver. Here we go. Second place. Miracles. Okay, it's not quite Delver. Still not happy. Lands.
Lands Delver. Yeah.
Well, that's... I mean. Lands Delver. That's... No, it's just Lands.
Please don't make that deck.
Please.
And don't get him to sign it. It'll make him too happy.
You'll just encourage him. Lands in third place. Fourth place, Slivers?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
For reals? Slivers.
Yeah,
let's take a quick look at this. Okay, so Crystalline, Gale Rider, Hibernation, Muscle, Predatory, Sinew, and Winged. Okay, so all those Slivers. Are any of those the new ones? So Predatory Slivers, one of the new ones.
Gale Rider
Sliver is one of the new ones.
I think that's probably what makes it work.
Yeah, the rest are older ones, but those are all pretty good Slivers.
We've also got Sliver Hive in the board. Or, I mean, the lands.
Yeah, we were getting to that. So we've got Sliver Hive in the lands. There it is.
I spoiled it.
And Chewy spoiled everything. Of course, Aether Vials, really good for powering out Slivers. Brainstorms, Days, Force of Will for making your Slivers stick. We're just going to assemble an army and prevent you from wiping the board is what we're going to do. That's the plan. And if that doesn't work, we'll just make more Slivers. Why not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Slivers. I should really build this deck.
Hibernation Sliver trips me out.
Yeah? Why is that?
Why? Why is it in here?
Because it's so sleepy.
I hate you.
yeah, actually, I don't... Well, it's a 2-2 for 2 that's a Sliver. So, that's not bad.
So maybe that?
Yeah, maybe that. You could also actually do the pay two life and return a sliver that's important to you. You know, because when they do manage to try and do a board wipe, you can at least save a couple of little guys.
Oh, you can save your crystalline.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll accept that, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, so I've never run the Slivers deck, and I haven't played against it in a while, so I can't really tell you. But I do like it. It's a tribal aggro deck. Why would I not like it? Well, the Force of Wills. That's why I wouldn't like it. You're right. You're right. You caught me. not a big fan of those. Okay, so in fifth place, we had a blue-red painter deck, which I overall approve of. If it weren't for the blue, I prefer the mono-red version, but I see where they're coming from. I mean, getting the brainstorms and the Force of Wills is kind of good. So I see where they're coming from, but if you go... You okay over there?
Sorry, I broke my whole whatever.
Okay. But if you go the mono red version, you're just always blowing up blue things. That's your whole goal in life, and that's why I love the mono red version. No surprise there. In sixth place, Storm. Seventh place, Reanimator. And eighth place, Blue-Red Delver. So hey, just the two Delver decks. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Well, I can live with that. That's nice and diverse. We had another Delver deck in 9th. Dredge is out there in 10th. We have Imperial Painter out in 15th. Is that the mono red version that they're using here? No, they've got a splash of... Oh, do they? No, yeah, this is the mono red. No, they've got a little splash for Enlightened Tutor. Yeah, there we go. So, those are the legacies.
There's a Mogcatcher deck.
Hey, there is. Mono Red Mogcatcher. Interesting.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, Mono Red Mogcatcher by John Bagley here in 13th place.
That's weird.
Goblin Rabble Master, Magus of the Moon, Mogcatcher, which, although not a creature itself, have they retconned this creature type, or is it actually still a mercenary?
On it.
Yeah, somebody go look that up, because it doesn't seem right to me.
Mog. Ah, he is a human mercenary.
Okay, so at least he's a human mercenary. Let you search up a goblin card, because that's obviously what you always want.
And it goes into play, which is so nice when you have other cards that do stuff when they come into play, like nearly everything in this entire deck.
Yeah, like Murderous Redcap is in here. Also, a goblin. Most people don't realize that. Totally a goblin assassin, which if you need to hire an assassin, and I'm not condoning that, I'm going to recommend against hiring the goblin.
Yeah, we double don't condone the goblin assassin.
Don't get me wrong. If you hire a goblin assassin, somebody's going to die. May not be your target, might be the goblin. So
might
let's
be, you.
Be real, it's going to be me.
Yeah,
could be you. All I know is there's going to be some coin flipping involved. Look, it's probably a bad idea. Siege Gang Commander, Tuk Tuk Scrapper, because artifacts are bad. Okay, Kiki Jiki the Mirror Breaker, and Rakamar?
Yeah.
What in the hell deck are we looking at?
This is the Mono Red Mogcatcher Legacy deck by John
Bailey
in 13th place.
Okay. For some reason, I missed. Last one I remember you mentioning was Painter, and then now we're in 13th. And I was like,
yeah, well, I mean, we were kind of hopping around in the top 16. I will also mention the Trinispheres that are in here because Trinisphere's hilarious. And for those who want to ask the question, they raise their hand and they say, Judge, can I talk to you away from the table? Judge, there's a Trinisphere in play. Does that mean I have to? I can almost always stop you right there and go, yes, you have to pay three. Pretty much all the time. Yeah, I've got this suspended spell, and when it comes off suspend, it's three. Okay, but I want a Force of Will. Three. Yep.
A blue discard, and three.
Here we go. Here's the flow chart. Are you casting the spell? If yes, are you currently paying less than three? If yes, you need to pay at least three. There you go.
I seem to remember in a Legacy episode of Card Advantage, you explaining how there's virtually a Trinisphere step in cost assessment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the mana cost of the spell, plus any additional costs, plus any additions, minus any subtractions, comma, Trinisphere. Because you check it at the very end. Oh, but it's got I've got affinity on this spell. Still paying three. It's at the end. Anyway. And that was the top five. Was Legacy.
Hang on, yeah. Okay, so last up we have Modern.
Modern.
And
we had 135 players show up for Modern.
Yay. So first place was won by Ryan Hip with Blue Moon. Okay. And then the lead singer of Stained came in second?
Yes.
That is Aaron Lewis, right? Is that his name?
Not a clue.
Okay. Well, I swear to God, you're worthless. So Aaron Lewis in second with Blue-Red Delver, and then a Blue-Red Delver in third, and then Burn in fourth. Wait, this is Modern. Hang on. I said Blue-Red Delver, Burn, and we're not talking Legacy. Oh, look! Hellspark Elemental.
Hey.
You get a pass. Oh, look! Swift Spear. Okay, that's fine. I like both of those decks. Sixth place is Infect. Clues?
No.
Okay. Seventh place is Bogles. Is this a... Yup. What is this called? This isn't just called Bogles. This is the Aura deck.
Oh, no, they were playing Boggle.
Oh!
No, you can't do that to determine the winner of a Magic
game. It's Peggy Hill.
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, this is a... should just be green-white? Yeah, green-white hexproof in Modern. Which seems fine.
Wait, don't we have a name for green-white?
Nope.
No, it's not ringing a bell. Okay.
Not till he gets a planeswalker that's not a Johnny, we don't. Everybody gets one of those.
Everybody gets an Ajani?
Almost.
Hmm. And you get an Ajani, and no.
All right, Oprah. Let's see. What else? Eighth place is another Delver deck. Look at this. What is this, Legacy? Seriously, look at these. Delver, burn, infect, Delver.
Not only that, but in ninth place, Affinity.
It's Affinity. So, the hell?
Yeah, we got Burn, Zoo, more Affinity. Yes, look, you got your Legacy in my Modern.
Sorry about that.
Maybe it's the other way around.
At the end of the day, we're all broke.
Yeah, no matter what it comes down to, is it cost me a fortune to build this deck, so I'm playing it.
Lord. So, yeah, what's the rest?
How about this 11th place deck? Can we talk about this?
Let's see, 10th is 10th is just Abzan in Modern.
Gesundheit.
Oh, this was the Modern Junk deck. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're just renaming them all now.
And then we have Summoning Trap. Green-white Summoning Trap. So my brain immediately said, is this guy playing Hearthstone? No, there isn't a Summoning Trap.
See, I was thinking, is this guy playing Zendikar Block?
Yes. Pretty sure he is.
Well, except that there's like a Blightsteel Colossus in here, so no.
Oh, then no. Pretty sure he's not.
He's got that Hushwing Griff, which is
so
interesting.
For those who don't remember Summoning Trap... Okay, Summoning Trap. It is a trap card, therefore it is from Zendikar. Traps were awesome. Zendikar
or Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, we don't.
No, it's no. Cool. I just play it morph. I mean face down. I mean morph.
I mean.
And by the way, I took your wallet. So.
Wow.
I don't know what you're talking about. That was totally unrelated. Summoning Trap from Zendikar. It's an instant trap. Costs 4 green. If a creature spell you cast this turn was countered by a spell or ability an opponent controlled, you may pay 0 rather than play Summoning Trap's mana cost. Look at the top 7 cards of your library. You may put a creature card from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. So this was, hey, I'm going to cast this thing. You want to counter it? Oh, you do? Well, then I'll just look at the top 7 and get something much better now. And so the much better things, Blightsteel Colossus, Worm Coil Engine, Chewie's Dying, Blade Splicer's not bad, Restoration Angel, Emrakul, why not? Just 4 copies of Emrakul. Cause, you know, when you summoning trap in an Emrakul. I once summoning trapped in an Ulamog, but never an Emrakul. And this was back in the Zendikar days.
That's because you're a semi-decent person.
No, it's cause at the time I didn't own any Emrakuls.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I take that back. I had the one promo, because I did play the Rise of the Eldrazi pre-release back when they gave us awesome promos.
So, clues.
Yeah.
When you're running Summoning Trap,
yes?
And your opponent's not playing blue, are you just expecting to pay 6?
Yeah, you can totally do that. You can probably ramp to it. I mean, you've got Avacyn's Pilgrim, Birds of Paradise. I'm a little surprised that there's not Noble Hierarch in here too, but maybe there's just no room. But yeah, I think the other thing he's doing, I think, Windrush Kites is in here.
And oh, okay.
So, you can totally hide away. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. It just seemed to me kind of like it's just a ramp deck that's got a little more greed to it.
Well, look, if you're playing in Legacy, I mean Modern, chances are you're going to run into folks with counterspells, so.
What? Like
nothing's worse than them countering your, like, Avacyn's Pilgrim, and then you just flip into Emrakul. It's like, oh, Birds of Paradise? No, I'm going to counter that. Great! Summoning Trap? Oh, I don't have the mana to counter that one. Okay, Emrakul, how you like me now?
Gold teeth when that was.
Bet you wish that was a Birds of Paradise now, don't you?
A little bit. So with this Hushwing Griff in the sideboard, doesn't it turn off like half your deck?
Yeah, maybe that's for the mirror? I don't know. Does it turn off half your deck? It stops. Well, okay, look. Even if you stop Emrakul's Enter the Battlefield trigger, you still have a 15.
Oh, yeah. 15. I'm talking more like the Blade Splicer and the Resto Angel kind of stuff.
I would assume you side those out if you're bringing
it up. Yeah, but you've only got one Griff.
Yeah.
So you're just boarding in a whole bunch of stuff?
Look, I don't play Modern. I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Okay. I mean, I know that this obviously works. I mean, they got 11th place. I'm just curious, actually asking these questions.
Okay, that's fair. But yeah, I honestly don't know. I do like the core Firewalker because, again, Zendikar Block. Look, I started in Zendikar Block. I love seeing these cards.
Yeah, full disclosure. Clues has a Zendikar Block thing.
I do,
feel
and
bad
I actually
for when Clues discovered normal basic lands.
I actually spent a good deal of time this afternoon talking with some, let's say other judges about Zendikar Lock and our fondness for it.
Hi, Jeff, Josh, and Nicholas.
That's
yep,
right.
Named them.
That's right. Nailed it.
Anyway.
All right.
Not that they listen to this show, so whatever.
Nicholas sometimes does. The other two.
Damn it, Saber. Okay, so the rest of the top 16, Burn, Zoo, Murica, Control. Hey, look, it's Jeff Hoogland again. Bogles again, and Affinity again. What in the hell? This is the weirdest modern metagame I've ever seen.
And you're right. That combo deck has completely ruined this format. We need to ban Jeskai.
Yes.
That's terrible. Is totally, totally wrecking things.
Look, just because it didn't do anything doesn't mean that it still doesn't reliably kill on turn three.
And we're totally going to get to
so reliably.
Complain about it.
So reliably.
See, he admits it. Ha ha!
Aha! Ha! I mean, something.
Yes, words and talking.
Hoo-ha. Yes, things, stuff.
Excitement! Rawr. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
So that was Star City. So the other thing that happened this weekend was Eternal Weekend, which I didn't realize was an official thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This, I think this was the first time it got coverage directly from WotC, but I may be wrong about that. But, yeah. Eternal Weekend up in Philly, which is where I was all weekend. It was awesome. Had an absolute great time. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tournament as a tournament just because I was there. So I have a few things to say about it.
Well, and it's got, official coverage. So
it does. Yeah. So we've got a link to the actual official WotC coverage, BDM was there, Bob Mayer was there doing coverage, so it was pretty awesome. We had quite a few folks show up for Eternal Weekend, so at least you believe that this was just, a little tournament. There were 478 players for day one, which was Legacy. It wasn't a two-day tournament, there were two different tournaments, a Legacy tournament and a Vintage tournament. And then Sunday, there was a sanctioned Vintage tournament. Yes, you heard that right. Sanctioned Vintage, which means no proxies. And there were 321 players who showed up to play Vintage, which if you sit and think about that, at first you're like, oh, 321, that's not all that. Wait a minute. Vintage? What?
So clues?
Yes.
When you're in a room with 321 Vintage players and the fire alarm goes off.
I'd rather not know.
Okay.
But nothing good can come of that. Now, let me say a couple of general comments about Vintage players. I think I've gone on the record as saying this before. Vintage players tend to be pretty relaxed and chill people because it takes a certain mentality to be okay with carrying around like tens of thousands of dollars worth of cardboard. That's not something that just your average Joe off the street does. So it attracts a certain kind of player, a certain kind of mentality. I did a back of the envelope calculation while we were waiting for the event to finish up on Sunday night, because I did an extended shift both days, which is why I'm so tired. But I think based on rough estimations of how many players there were, how many of those players were playing non-powered decks, because there was actually a competition for people playing non-powered decks, as in no power nine in the decks. And then figuring out roughly how many decks in the room would have been running Black Lotus. I think just in the value of the Black Lotuses, a conservative estimate was somewhere in the neighborhood of $700,000 worth of Black Lotuses.
Holy balls.
Yeah, if you actually sit down and do the math on 321 Vintage players, that is a shocking amount of money. Now, there was also a shocking amount of security on site, so that's not all that surprising, I suppose. But I wanted to tell a couple of heartwarming tales real quick here, because, we had some bad stuff earlier, here's some good stuff. To my knowledge, there was not a single deck stolen all weekend. Not one. I know there wasn't one on the Vintage side. On both the Vintage and the Legacy side, there were multiple instances of people leaving a deck at a table. And the deck immediately being turned into the judge staff.
But there how?
There were, and I have this officially from the head judge, there were three Vintage decks turned in and returned to their rightful owners. And on the Legacy side, one completely 100% altered show and tell deck that was turned in.
That is one way to make sure that you get your, that no one steals your deck.
Yeah. So the thing is, the players, and this is where I really want to point out that the community, we've had some bad stuff said about the community earlier in the show. The community as a whole is full of good people, and the Eternal Weekends really exemplify that. It's a great, great time. Now, that being said, there were some speed bumps. We had some software issues Saturday morning, so the tournament might have started 2 hours late. But that's okay. We got through it. We do apologize sincerely for those software problems. They were totally not the fault of the judge staff. It was software related, but we got those ironed out, and then the tournament went along at a relatively reasonable pace. Although we still had to postpone the top eight of Legacy until Sunday morning. We were going to do it Saturday night. And I also want to say on that subject, the nice folks at Card Titan, who ran the tournament, they would like your feedback on the tournament of things they did well or could do better. And what I really want to point out here, the most important takeaway is, if you have a specific complaint, please by all means make it. If you just want to say that sucked or your event sucked, that's not actually helpful. Why do you think it sucked? What did they do that you wanted them to do better? You know, let's do constructive criticism. That's how that works. Simply shouting, you suck, is not actually the way to make change. Anyway, why don't we talk a little bit
much
about
like Magic Online, and much like, hey, I think the guy was cheating.
Yes, exactly. So, why don't we talk about the top eight for Legacy and Vintage? What do you say?
Sure.
Okay. So, in
are the Nicholas in order?
Probably not. Let me go check here. Nope, totally not. So, in first place in Legacy was Kevin Jones, and Kevin Jones was playing a blue-red Delver deck. Second place was John Grudzina, and he was playing, I gotta find it here, if anybody else sees it, let me know. Probably had Delver on the end, that's how you'll find it. Anybody?
I'm still waiting on it to reload, I had to open up the who won. Wait, which one are we in?
John Grudzina had Jeskai Delver, this is Legacy.
Oh, this leg. Oh, no wonder I can't find it.
So he went Delver. Okay, Nate Sturm in third place. Perhaps you can save Sturm? Us. Is it Sturm? I'm sorry. I was trying to flip between tabs. Okay, what did he have?
This looks like a.
It is. Oh, Punishing Maverick.
Okay. Thank you. That's the word. I'm like, it's old. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, Punishing Fire. Okay. Thank goodness no more Delver decks. How about that? Okay, how about Eric Markowitz in fourth place, who had
he
for us
Jeskai Delver.
Jeskai Delver deck. Okay.
Wait, I don't see any white. Oh, Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. That's the only white.
Zach Dobbin. How about Zach Dobbin? Can he save us from the Jeskai Delvers? I believe he can, as he was running a Helmerator combo deck.
A what? So,
It's Helm of Obedience, along with, what is that? Leyline of the Void and or, sometimes they run, the new one, the white enchantment that gets rid of graveyards. It's a Helm of Obedience combo deck.
Oh, see, there aren't any other enchantments in here, so.
Yeah, he's not running the one I'm thinking of, but still, it's.
There I like the way, so whoever put these deck lists up did it in a hurry and didn't bother to spell check.
This is possible.
Like, for instance, Eric Markowitz is playing Umezawa's Jitter.
Now, I can tell you that the Legacy Top 8 wasn't decided until approximately, 11:30 Saturday night. And the coverage,
because
the coverage
these
guys
were put
had
up,
been working all day.
These were put up ahead of the Top 8 being finished.
Nope.
It says,
weren't.
After 10 rounds of Swiss, only 8 remain. Here are the top eight decks. It doesn't say.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that the top eight was decided as in finished. I'm saying who made the top eight was decided at 11:30 at night. Trust me, I was still there.
But still, somebody should go back and fix stuff. Like, for instance, under Other in Zach Dobbin's deck, like there's three other. Urborg Tomb 2 Yawgmoth, which is not a card, and Tezzeret, the Seeker, which is not a card.
Okay.
It just bothers me to see, like, sure, okay, coverage, blah, blah, blah. It's frickin' Monday now. Somebody needs to check something. Deck lists are what people look at.
Look, I'm going to need you to make a play, so let's move on to Ralph Bitesh in sixth
place. No, you got to rant and rave about nonsense early. I'm ranting about this. This is sloppy work. I don't care how long you've been awake. This is going to be what people look at.
Hey, you know, actually, what you're doing right now is constructive criticism. You've seen something. Yeah, this is a lesson right here.
The problem is a specific complaint. This will never go back and be fixed. So this nonsense will just be here forever. It doesn't matter who I complain to.
Well, why don't you make a specific complaint to the people who did it?
All right, Jacob. Oh, it's Jacob Van Loonen. There's your problem.
No, my point is, why don't you do that? He's not listening. You know that, right?
Right. No, I find it's Jacob Van Loonen because at the three questions in Pittsburgh, for some reason, all of the coverage writers looked the same to me, and I introduced him as Glenn Jones. He was like, what? No, I'm Jacob Van Loonen. And I was like,
he doesn't look like Glenn Jones.
That's from my side.
It does when you don't know what these people look like.
Now, that's just sloppy work right there.
Exactly. It takes one to know one. I recognize sloppy work when I see it.
Chewy, expert on sloppy work, ladies and gentlemen.
You are correct.
Look, you already got your slow play warning. This is going to go to a game loss here real soon. Ralph Bitesh, who had Teamer Delver. Because Delver. How about in seventh place, Eric DeLuca, who was temporarily filed under L, according to the software, because of the issues.
He's playing also Delver.
No, really?
Sultai Delver.
All the flavors of Delver. How about Tony Charlanza?
Where do you get Sultai?
You mean, is it Delver?
Oh, Maelstrom Pulse. Okay, look at that.
Okay, all these Delver decks.
Are there any other colors we can pair Delver with decks. Blue?
Curious. I think we've covered them all. Why could it possibly be that we're seeing this like power resurgence of Delver decks? Boy, I just can't put my finger on it. You know, it's almost as if someone reprinted Ancestral Recall, but just tacked on Exile Your Graveyard. It's almost like that happened. Oh, wait a minute. They printed Treasure Cruise.
They did.
Which costs seven and a blue. Plus
no one's ever paid that.
Delve, and now it's just a blue.
Now, to be fair, it doesn't say target player draws three cards, and it's a sorcery. So shut up.
Yeah, so it's not quite accessible. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the quote-unquote fixed Ancestral Recall. And let me tell you, it is still broken as all get out. I mean, seriously. I think I did a count, and like six of the eight top eight decks are running Treasure Cruise. Most of them running multiple.
You mean the six Delver in the top eight?
All six Delver in the top eight.
Two there. Four there. Scroll. Nope, wrong colors.
Also,
four there.
From the head judge of this event, one Mr. Nicholas Sabin, he suggested that the reason that Kevin Jones won over John Grudzina was that Kevin managed to resolve three Treasure Cruises in their final game, whereas John resolved none.
Ooh, you know, that might have something to do with it. That extra nine cards gets you every time.
It's funny, but that kind of card advantage is just incredibly important. I guess what I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, is let's just go ahead and ban this one now before it gets bad. Because it's already bad. And I'm actually being completely serious here. I think Treasure Cruise might need to be banned in Legacy.
Really?
And in fact, I think part of the reason that you're seeing so much blue making the resurgence in Modern as well, why you're seeing Modern decks that look like Legacy decks, is because of Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time. They are broken with a capital B.
Man, I hate those commons from Standard always ruining my Legacy.
It's another case of damn blue commons just breaking formats. Ugh, I'm just disgusted. Why don't we go to Vintage?
Wait a minute,
isn't
Dig Through Time not a common?
Dig Through Time might be an uncommon.
I was talking about Treasure Cruise.
Okay, I think Dig Through Time is a rare, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, good.
Why don't we go to Vintage? Because surely Treasure Cruise is not going to appear in Vintage decks. I mean, come on. It's in like four or five of them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get on the boat.
Treasure Cruise is now seeing play in every sanctioned format.
Is it seeing play in Standard?
I believe it is.
Not
I
as much as Dig Through Time.
Yeah,
no,
not as much
Standard.
Stuff, but still, it's just ridiculous.
Standard's not like Legacy. Here we play rares. None of that common nonsense.
Unless you're playing Mono Red Kill You. Then you've got some commons. Okay,
you guys,
so Vintage.
Dak Faden format nonsense.
Now, I will warn you as we go forward on Vintage, I don't understand all of Vintage decks and how they work, so we may hit some where I go, I don't know how this works. But
well, we don't actually care how it works. So.
So
we're not playing
place.
These decks later, Clues. Just tell us what they are.
Well, it's possible. Vintage Masters on MTGO, Crazy Paper Vintage later in the show. There's all kinds of Vintage interest going on. If only it weren't for that pesky reserved list, we could actually support these formats that people actually love. So, in first place, Mark Toko takes it down, with his Oath deck. So this is an Oath of Druids deck, for those, who don't know. Forbidden Orchard, Have a Dude. Now I'll get something even better.
Yeah.
And does he have any? No, he does not have any treasure cruises in here, right? No.
No, he's just got these seven artifacts that look really useful.
Yeah, I mean, look, these things. What is this? A Cheerios deck? Look at that. That costs zero. That costs zero. That costs zero.
Wow.
This one you even have to sacrifice. That card's no good.
That's awful.
Well, okay. You say he doesn't have a treasure cruise, but he has an Ancestral Recall, so I don't know what you're whining about.
Oh, right.
He's got the broken treasure cruise. Yeah.
Can we start calling it that?
I think some people might object. No, but actually, speaking of Black Lotus, since we were mentioning it earlier, Christopher Rush was on site. He was one of the artists, so it's pretty awesome.
Ooh.
So there you go. If you want to get your power signed, come to New Jersey. He'll be there too.
Get right on that.
Just to plug that. Anyway, Mark beat Dario Moreno.
He's playing Dario. Blue Red Delver with two copies of Dak Faden, probably because of some of those artifacts you were just talking about.
Yeah, actually, Dak Faden is a Vintage card. Yep. It was really printed for Vintage.
And he hopped right off those three treasure cruises.
Yep,
my God.
That's right. Dak Faden came in by ship. And also...
And stole it.
Time Walk, that's in there too.
Yeah.
And some Moxes. Good God, Moxes.
And a Lotus.
So
like he couldn't afford a fourth treasure cruise, so he had to get an Ancestral Recall. That's just
awesome. Well, they're so hard to find, the treasure cruises in foil, because look, this is Vintage. We're not playing with regular ones. Let's be honest.
Okay, third place.
Third place was Harry Corvese, and he is playing another Oath of Druids deck.
Yep.
That is a very popular archetype in Vintage. Ryan Eberhart was in fourth place, and fourth place is a Teemer Delver deck with four copies of Treasure Cruise.
Okay, wait a minute. Who? Oh, there he is.
Ryan Eberhart, yeah.
So this is almost a Legacy deck.
Yeah, you could just, you know, swap out those,
He's got two Moxen, a Lotus, a Time Walk, and I guess Dak Faden, because it's probably significantly less good in Legacy, because nobody plays it in Legacy.
Now, the thing is, this is something a lot of people don't know. Brainstorm is so good, it's restricted in Vintage.
Yeah.
So you only get one copy.
And yet it's legal in Legacy.
And yet it's legal in Legacy. See what I have to put up with when I play Legacy?
Recall is restricted in Vintage too, right?
Yeah. All the Power Nine is.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. But it's cool because, yeah, you take out your Lotus and your two Moxes, and you throw in your other three Brainstorms, and then you swap out your Time Walk and your Dak Faden for thing and other thing, and probably your Trigon Predator for other thing, and boom, deck.
You're only down to four Treasure Cruises at that point.
Yeah, or you sell your Black Lotus and buy all the Treasure Cruises, or... Sell your Black Lotus and take an actual cruise. Not that I'm advocating selling your power if you have it. I actually think it's a pretty good investment, quite frankly.
I love that sideboard, by the way.
Oh,
good old mountain.
Is there a mountain? Yeah, there is a mountain in there.
Good old mountain.
That's weird. Okay, next.
You know, I think there's a reason it's in there, but I don't remember what it is. Next.
Cards.
Next we have
it's
Roland.
Probably, look at all the red in his board.
You don't have to actually have a 15-card sideboard anymore.
Dude, he's Vintage. He might.
It's really fun to imagine that he actually... Oh, it's probably an Arabian Nights mountain. Let's be real.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably fair.
I still think it's because of all the red in the sideboard. If he boards in anything, it's probably got some red in it, so you might as well throw a mountain in, too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's not like he can make red off of a Mox Ruby or Black Lotus.
Okay, there's one of each of those. You throw in a mountain. There, you've just added 33% chance of getting red.
Yeah.
God, I'm...
Next, we have, in fifth place, man, slow play all around, Roland Chang playing a workshop deck, which you see a lot of those, too. In sixth place, Nam Tran is playing, is it another workshop? Yep, another workshop deck. Christian Griffin in seventh place.
He's got another Delver deck. This one has green and blue.
And how many treasure cruises?
Three. Oh, and red. Okay, so this is a team.
Yep, there you go. And in eighth place, Ryan Glacken, who is playing...
A blue-red Delver.
A more different Delver with four copies of Treasure Cruise.
Yay. Yes.
Because Treasure Cruise.
Because Treasure Cruise. And one recall. Because why not?
Yeah, by the way, did you also notice another a recently printed card that made a lot of appearances in these Delver decks? I'll give you a hint. He's a fan of Chandra.
No hints. Oh, Young Pyromancer. Yeah.
Yes, Young Pyromancer. He is also really shining in Vintage.
Still probably not good enough to join the 2-drop club, but still really good.
Still awfully good. So there you go. That was Vintage. We don't get to talk about Vintage, sanctioned Vintage Magic all that much, but Eternal Weekend is kind of the big one in the U.S. Bazaar of Moxen is the big tournament that goes on over in Europe. Amazing turnout, I really want to say. I mean, that's a lot of people to play sanctioned Vintage. And hey, you should talk to your local game store and see if you can get them to run sanctioned Vintage for FNM, because that is actually allowable now.
Yes, and see if we can spend some extra money on some armed security guards.
Yes, step one is to find 8 people who can actually play sanctioned Vintage. But look, most of your Legacy decks are Vintage legal if you take out those Brainstorms and Ponders, because you only get one of each of those, because they're too good. And then put in all your Dak Fadens, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Clues.
Yes, sir.
Path to Exile in Vintage?
Maybe.
Explain all these random, like, that's not the only deck that has a single basic in the board.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if they run Path. I would think you would more often see Swords.
Yeah, that's what I would think too.
You know, there's this popular perception, by the way, that Vintage is a game that, you know, you basically, you shuffle up, you roll the die to see who goes first, and that guy just won game one.
no, that's standard.
That's not actually true. So some of these games can get long and grindy. I know the finals took, well, not the finals, the semifinals took absolutely forever Sunday night. But still, it was great to see all these folks getting a chance to play their favorite decks in Vintage. I was over doing a sealed PTQ at the time on the other side of the room, so I didn't get to watch much of the Vintage. And that was Eternal Weekend, and why Treasure Cruise should be banned, probably in all formats ever. It probably should join the long list of blue cards that should not have been printed. See also Mental Misstep, Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Delver of Secrets.
Delver of Secrets.
Island.
Island. Yeah, Island's technically not blue. That's right.
And Spirit. So Clues. Looking at the top of the Eternal Weekend picture, were all the Magic cards that big back in the day?
Yeah, actually, it's a little known fact that Magic cards were originally quite large, and they were shrunk in 1995.
Okay.
After
the shuffling incident that killed 3 people, I remember.
the first place trophies were these oversized framed original artwork that WotC commissioned for Gaia's Cradle for Legacy and Mox Pearl for Vintage.
They're really neat.
They are, and they're completely unique. They are pretty awesome.
All right then, so while we're talking about Vintage, Clues, this is still you. You want to tell us about
it is?
Worlds?
I do. Did I put that in the show notes?
No, you didn't, but you're the old player, the old format guy.
I'm suitably curmudgeonly.
Even though you are actually, of the three of us, the one who started playing most recently.
That's right.
You were the one who plays the old Ridiculous formats. So.
Oh, well, I'm also the one who started playing later in life because, well, I'm ancient. I am Pearl Lake Ancient. Is that right?
Ha, yeah. You're blue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the sad part is I actually like the actual physical color blue a lot. If only it weren't, you know.
I like the fact that you're Pearl Lake Ancient and you started going scuba diving as soon as it came out. That's amazing.
Yeah, I did. Had to go try and find Lord of Atlantis and punch him right in the throat. So, some notes about the 2014 World Championships. So as we all know, the World Championships will be taking place this upcoming December in Nice, France. And it's going to have just a minor shift in what the formats are going to be. So on day one, competitors will be playing Vintage Masters Booster Draft in real life. Yeah, you heard that right. Real life. Not MTGO. No, they're actually going to be playing actual vintage cards in a sanctioned event. Now, you might say to yourself, but wait a minute, Clues. Doesn't that mean that WotC is slowly breaking down the reserved list and they're going to print these cards for this event? No, that's not what's going to happen. They're just going to actually go buy the cards and they're going to create Vintage Master booster packs on MTGO. And once they've generated what those are, they're going to write them down and they're going to recreate them with actual cards. So they're going to repack the draft essentially. And so day one's going to be Vintage Masters booster draft, followed by four rounds of modern. Day two, three rounds of Khans of Tarkir booster draft, followed by four rounds of standard. And then they'll cut to top four. And, what is that? 4 days later, they will have the top four. So they, you know, folks get to take a break. You know, maybe get some lunch. They will then be playing standard constructed decks for the end, for the top four. So there you go. World Championships. Vintage Masters in real life. That's going to be really interesting.
Now, it's funny that they're going to generate the boosters on Magic Online and then make them in real life. IRL, as the kids say.
Yes. AFK.
Yes, RTFC.
Right.
Yes.
KFC.
Chicken. So.
Chicken.
Yay, Worlds. Okay, what's left? Show notes.
Right.
New cards.
Oh, yeah, Commanders.
Top five cards.
Top five. No, not yet.
More than five cards.
More than five cards, yes. Commander 2014 15?
Cards that shouldn't exist.
14 16? To confuse you.
Okay, 14 to confuse you. Commander 2014, which as has been known for quite some time, will be five monocolored commander decks with a planeswalker as your commander.
That shouldn't happen.
The first thing they showed was Teferi, Temporal Archmage, which was awesome. And then they showed, I think, Ghoulcolor Geesa and Stitcher Geralf, or Geralf.
Yes.
Whatever. And now previews have started in full swing. They revealed that the green planeswalker is Frailes, which is awesome for us old school players. And the black planeswalker is Obnixilus of the Black Oath. Excuse me.
The Black Death would have been amazing.
Right? But it wouldn't fit. Look at that.
Yeah. The head's annoying.
So as many may know, Obnixilus is a fallen planeswalker whose spark has gone out for some reason. Well, this is him back in his prime.
Well, we actually, I think, know why it happened. I thought it was taken away by, oh, God, now I can't remember her name. Starts with an N, and it's not Nyssa. I know what you're thinking. Nah, I'll think of it in a few minutes, or I probably won't. Someone out there knows. Email it
to Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
For the record, Nicole Kidman could totally take my spark. Now, so yeah, those are the three that have been revealed. A bunch of other nifty cards have shown up.
Nifty.
Like Felden of the Third Path, famous from such cards as Felden's Cane.
And then there's a Johnny's Brother Jazal Gold name.
Yep. A Johnny's Brother is on here. Anything else nifty?
We got some new keywords.
We do?
Yeah. Lieutenant.
Oh, right. Where here it is. The Angelic Field Marshal. Lieutenant, I'm guessing, will be... It's an ability word that I'm going to guess means as long as you control your commander.
That seems pretty likely.
Do a thing. So in this case, Angelic Field Marshal is a 3/3 flyer for 2 white-white, which is not great for a rare. But it says, as long as you control your commander, Angelic Field Marshal gets +2/+2, and creatures you control have vigilance. So now she's a 5/5 flyer for 4, that gives you all of your dudes vigilance, and that's pretty great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I expect there to be at least one of these in each deck, maybe two.
Yeah, I would expect at least one. Also neat, we have the return of the essentially pick some players and see what happens effects from the previous commander decks. Like, they don't have a name, but like, for instance, on Bitter Feud, it's an enchantment. It's like the obligatory big red enchantment. In the case of this one, you pick two players, and whenever they would hurt each other, they do double damage, is the short version. So you're essentially so you like, how about you and him fight? Which is pretty great.
I can totally see this being a thing with the Magic Dorks, or the Manipul Dorks, rather. It's always Dirk and Mike, according to Brian, who were fighting each other, so.
This reinforces that.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty funny. Bill's favorite thus far, I think, has been the Reform, though.
Oh, yeah, I really like the Reform. That's actually designed by, at least in part, by John Laux while he was at Wizards. I think he said that it was one of his concept cards and that he was heavily involved in it. But yeah, the Reform is essentially fishing. It's great. So see if you can keep track of all the quotation marks as I read this to you. All right, so it's 3 and a blue for a 0/1 creature worm. So, you know, that's awesome. And it has, when Reform dies, put a 3/3 blue fish creature token onto the battlefield with, quote, when this creature dies, put a 6/6 blue whale creature token onto the battlefield with, quote, when this creature dies, put a 9/9 blue kraken creature token onto the battlefield, end quote, end quote.
Didn't you miss one?
No, because the original one's not in quotes.
Yeah.
And then, oh, okay.
So, why isn't this card green?
Because fish.
Yeah, because they went aquatic with it. That's the only reason I can
that
see.
That is the only reason. This should be a green card. This is not a blue effect. This is not... What's wrong with you people? Don't you have a color pie?
Like, this could totally be a 0/1 something, and then a 3/3 beast, and then a 6/6 thing, and then a 9/9 other bigger thing. Maybe it's because of creature
types.
Like
a 9/9 Tarmogoyf.
Well, also, flavorfully, this makes sense. Like, you couldn't go, like, what's plant, elephant, beast? Whereas in blue, you could go worm, fish, what's bigger? Whale, whaley fish, what eats a kraken? Yes!
Look, you could have gone a thalid, beast, titan, giant.
Because everyone would expect that chain of effect as opposed to fishing.
Yeah, but either way, okay, this is an effect that creates tokens that grow.
Are you seriously bitching about blue?
Yes,
as a commander?
Yes, I am. This is not blue. This effect, the only reason this is blue is because they wanted more good toys for blue. Congratulations, blue's got all the toys.
I'm pretty sure it was because fishing.
Blue doesn't have a Bitter Feud, though, so there's that.
Not yet, but they haven't spoiled all the cards yet.
That's true. So that's what Clues is saying is that every card in Commander
is blue.
2014 is going to have a blue card that does exactly the same thing. The blue deck is actually 400 cards.
Damn it, blue. And in fact, blue's getting an exemption. In Commander, you're limited to 99 cards plus a general who can be a planeswalker, because why not? Unless you're playing blue, and then you get 399 cards plus 4 commanders.
That could be any freaking card type you want.
Any card type at all.
Land Commander. Counterspell. That's my commander.
I choose Dryad Arbor. Wait, it's got a color indicator that's green. Now I'm back to 99 cards.
Hey, Chewie.
Yeah.
Are instants a tribe?
Oh, God, Mike Flores is dumb. Okay, so are we done with Commander, I think?
Unless you want to talk about the lands, yeah.
The land, I've only seen one.
There are two.
Oh, there's one, and the other's an artifact.
The other one's an artifact, and is actually kind of cool.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about those then. You guys are so smart.
All right, so the artifact is the Unstable Obelisk, which is like the unfortunate discount brand of all those obelisks we've been tapping for mana for years. And so this still costs 3 mana, like all obelisks, I think, and still taps to add 1 to your mana pool, but it also has 7 tap. Sacrifice your busted up obelisk to destroy something, presumably whatever it falls on, some target permanent, This thing falls over because, you know what? You weren't wearing your helmet and Zergo got mad.
You know, you've all had it happen. You've got something nice, right? And there's your something nice and you've got it right here. And then some bastard builds this giant obelisk next to it that falls over and crushes your nice thing.
Well, first it blocks the sun on your thing. And right. When you go over to complain to the guy, you know, in a decent way, like a good neighbor, then State it falls over. There. Do what?
State Farm is there.
No.
Well, they were there, and then it you fell said, on them.
Like a good neighbor.
So I also really like the flavor text on it, which is, its collapse is like the lashing out of a long-dead civilization that resents being forgotten. They designed that thing to fall over when you forgot about them.
Did you guys read the flavor text on Felden of the Third Path?
No.
You should go do that. It's like the saddest thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, that is sad.
Actually, Mike Okahara in Hawaii, who does Peculiar Flavor on his Tumblr and the weekly Peculiar Flavor Roundup on themanipool.com, actually did an extended version of that takes the sadness away from it, makes it funny. I highly recommend you go to themanipool.com because it goes up every Monday. And check out the Peculiar Flavor Roundup, because Felden is there. Thank you. Plug over.
Yay. All right, Clues, talk about the land.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the land? Okay, so, the land. Myriad Landscape. It is a land. When it enters the battlefield tapped, this is key, because we can't give you land that's too broken. It's uncommon, which is meaningless, because these are the commander decks. Tap, add one colorless to your mana pool, or you can always go... 2, tap, sacrifice it, search your library for up to 2 basic land cards that share a land type, put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. Now, I want to note a couple of things. It did say 2 basic land cards that share a land type, so no going to get dual lands just because they share land types, because they're not basic.
But you can get snow.
You can get snow. Snow is a basic land type. Most people forget that. That actually came up this weekend.
I think snow is pretty much the only thing other than just 2 of the same basic land, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that's noteworthy. But also, this is essentially them going, you remember Croson Verge a long time ago and how you wish they'd actually done it for more than just a forest and a plains? It's kind of like that.
Remembers.
Croson Verge remembers.
That's right.
It's kind of like that. So yeah, more lands for all of you to enjoy in your monocolored deck for EDH, because they're not going to give you Command Tower, buddy. Why would they do that?
Yeah. How dare they? Or something. I wasn't listening. So, what are we talking about again? Am I muted? No, okay.
Nope, you're not muted.
Is this thing on? Okay.
Nope.
Now are we done with Commander?
Nope. Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now let's see our buddy Will Blanks, the unofficial other last member of Monday Night Magic, has given... Oh, look, Brain Maggot has given us...
Oh, God.
Do they keep posting the big picture?
Stop.
That's why. Stop. S-T-A-H-P. A link to the new F&M promos. So, yeah, the November Brain Maggot, which is gross and awesome. Stoke the Flames for December. January is Frenzied Goblin. And, oh, look, it's the little Cons version. Aww. Look at him.
He's adorable. Don't hit me with that axe.
That's the new one. Why does it say... Oh, it says January. Okay, my brain inserted February somewhere, because I'm dumb, I guess. So yay, Frenzy Goblin. Wasn't he reprinted recently?
Yes.
Yeah, he's seeing play in Standard, isn't he?
Oh, he was in M15. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ravnica, M15, and then Speed versus Cunning, but no one cares. All right.
That's what I was remembering. He was in Speed versus Cunning. Yeah.
Which is seeing play in Standard, which is really weird. Okay, last... bit of news before we just hand it to Bill, and that is a website has popped up that's hosted by, I assume, Channel Fireball and Cascade Games, because those are the two names at the bottom, for Grand Prix TBD. Now, we've mentioned this before. In May of 2015, there are 3 concurrent GPs at different parts of the world.
Concurrent.
Yes, that's the opposite of syncurrent. But three concurrent GPAs. Your grade point average is 3 of them at the same time. Shut up. Okay. There are 3 Grand Prix happening at the same time, the same weekend in different points of the world, and they're all listed with a format of not listed yet or to be determined or something, you know, coming soon. I don't know what it says on the official schedule, but it's obvious to anyone with critical thinking skills that these three limited format GPs, and the one in the the ones in the other parts of the world have a location already, don't they?
I think they do.
But because people in the U.S. are apparently stupid or can't handle it or something, we don't even know where this is. Like, the running theory is that it's Modern Masters 2 and they're just slow rolling it for some idiot reason.
Yeah, there's gotta be something that is preventing them from telling us where it is, but I can't imagine.
Their advertising schedule.
They have got to know what city this is in. That's really all we're asking right now. Just tell us where it is so we can plan on airfare or road trips or building some kind of a high-speed rail system to get enough people there. I don't know. Maybe a dirigible. Just tell us where it is.
I've got a dirigible. Oh, wait. No, that was just a sock. Carry on.
To the Hendon Peter. That's a Family Guy joke. So, but yeah, now it's on here. And it says, would you like to work at GPTBD? Email us. Would you like to vend at GPTBD? Email us. Would you like updates on GPTBD? Subscribe to this newsletter. No, I want you to freaking tell me where it is. This slow roll is just pissing people off. And of course, certain people who I don't know who they are that know already are slipping hints to some people out there. Very, very cautiously, the running theory that I've heard from a variety of people who are all hearing it third and fourth hand, are that it's going to be Vegas again. Again, this is all just hearsay. Is that, I don't know how you say that, but I think that's how you say it. Yeah, it's like hearsay four times removed, and they're like, oh, you need to book a room in Vegas for this weekend. Well, no, I'm not going to do that, because it hasn't been announced yet, and if you have been lied to or are an idiot, then no, because canceling.
And you are paying the cancellation fee on an expensive hotel room.
Cancellation fees in Vegas are not cheap, because nothing in Vegas is cheap. No. If you want to, like, find a puddle on the ground and reach down and sip some water, that's $4.50.
It's not even good water.
Right? Oh, the good water is like
Dasani, no. No. This is the stuff that dripped out of the vending machine. You don't want it.
But anyway, the fact that this website has appeared now has, if you can't tell, it's just infuriating.
It feels like a parody.
Like, they're rubbing it in our face that they haven't told us yet. And I don't know about you, but some of us have to plan ahead for crap like this. And more notice is great. So I don't know if they're waiting for Worlds to reveal Modern Masters 2 or whatever it is.
Yeah, but even if we don't know the format, just tell us where. That's all I want to know.
It's all part of the big grand idiot reveal.
I mean, unless the plane they're traveling to for the set they're going to release is the place we're going, why wouldn't you just tell us where it is?
Yes, we have to book a hotel room in Chandelier. I'm going to be pissed.
Have you looked at flight prices to Chandelier?
I have.
I was going to, and good. Then I got scared.
You got to have gold tokens, buddy. It is not cheap. Wait, there's a Pinterest for this?
Oh, it leads to the Channel Fireball Pinterest page.
Oh, man, that would have been the best way for them to screw this up ever.
So let me tell you about the inside info that I have, okay? Because being a judge, I can log into a website called Judge Apps, which is where we apply to be on events. Mm-hmm. And GPTBD is listed and has been for a while. Mm-hmm. And the location is TBD, the venue is TBD, the compensation TBD, hotel info TBD, room stipend TBD. Yeah, look, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Have you applied yet?
I haven't, but I'm probably going to this week. It's somewhere.
Again, I don't know if – we know it's in North America because that's what it said.
Now, I've talked to some of the people who are involved in this tournament, some people who do actually know things, and they haven't told me anything, except they've assured me it's going to be amazing, and you want to be there.
Where is there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Why is it amazing? I don't know.
I can't tell you, but it's amazing. You're going to like it. It is Vintage Masters, Abolished Reserved List, Moxen for All, Black Lotus to the first 1,000 players who sign up. and the first random number of players who line up in the heat outside of location to be determined for 7 hours ahead of time.
It's going to be an actual gold rush where we're actually going to go into a mine and we're actually going to have to find gold if we want to qualify. It's going to be miserable.
Yeah. They're going to pass out envelopes with one of every denomination of bill ever minted.
I'd go to that.
Yeah, I would too. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm going to go to it no matter what.
Oh, that's great. I'm actually pulling up the Cascade Games website, and because they've just got TBD as their filler for everything, it says things like vendors, TBD. If your business wants to vend at this event, blah, blah, blah. Featuring complete weekend of events. Festivities start on TBD at TBD AM and run all weekend.
See, that is one thing we know is the date. It's May 28th through the 31st next year.
And, yeah, you know, but it's TBD is, on this site. It's great.
That is not that far away. That's next May. We're talking like 6 months from now.
Well, it's October. So it's like 7 months away. It's the end of October.
Okay, 7 months away.
Yeah.
Would still like to know.
Oh, that's the end of May. So it's almost eight.
Okay. Ooh, almost
but
eight.
But still, yeah, for those of us that are not rolling in the money, but need to go to these things because it's what we do, is we go to big events that are the biggest events ever. That's me. My money does not last forever and I need to make some plans. So
now,
if
I know what you
could go ahead and get on that, I would appreciate it.
I know what you're thinking out there, folks, but guys, aren't you just complaining about this? Yes, but this is constructive. It's specific complaining. What we want you to do is tell us where to go so we can give you our money.
Shut up and take my money already.
Please consult this pie chart. This pie chart, as you'll notice, is a big red circle. The red area is what you should do. The words in there are tell us where. I went to Kinko's for that.
He did.
Office.
It was not cheap, but it was also not expensive.
It was laminated.
I was going to say, I can tell you it doesn't cost that much to laminate cards at Kinko's.
Have you gotten those pictures yet back, by the way?
Nope, they're being developed right now.
Dang it, man.
Sorry.
Who uses a camera where you have to develop pictures? What the hell?
I didn't have a digital that would work at that depth, so I had to resort to the film camera.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. So, enough complaining, and again, this is not someone we could go complain to someone because they'll go, sorry, you have to wait because this is going to be a big, huge reveal and we're all going to go, oh my God, except for the three of us are going to be like, finally, jeez. So
we're going to be immediately on the phone booking rooms and then we'll, oh my God, and then we'll be bitter because we had to wait so long and then all the good rooms are taken and then it'll be horrible and then we'll just cry. But we'll still go and have a good time.
Son of a whore. Anyway, so let's talk about something else.
Professionalism. Yeah, so speaking of complaining and getting results, let's talk about Magic Online.
Yeah, for once, that's actually the case.
Okay, so I'm going to run down what's been going on in Magic Online very briefly. So first up, if you recall from a bit ago, there was a bit of a complaint row on Twitter over the fact that if you enter a Magic Online event and you have some kind of issue, like maybe your deck is not properly registered, but you play it out and you get some packs, they won't give you the full compensation for it because you got something. Well, after a bit of an online argument over that, they've decided, you know what? No, we're not doing that anymore. So now if you go into a Magic Online event and something goes badly, but you've gotten some packs, you get to keep those and they're still giving you the full reimbursement. In order to do this, you will have to fill out a form. They'll send it in a report. And one thing that they've noted is that this is going to be a system that can be, like, they're not saying it can be exploited, but realistically, in a world of gamers, gamers gonna game. And so what they're saying is, don't. And if you do this, they might take this away from us, because honestly, the reason that we had to deal with this beforehand was because they didn't want it to be exploited. They're trusting us not to screw this up. Don't be the reason we can't have nice things. You can find the full details on this in the show notes. I'm not gonna read the whole thing to you. But this is an example of actually telling people online, this is something that we don't like. Here are suggestions for ways to handle it and it actually leading to something. So continue doing that rather than just saying that everything sucks and that you won't do it because you hate V4 or whatever your problem is.
You know, I got to say, don't be the reason we can't have nice things is really good advice.
Sorry about that, by the way.
It's you?
Not
you're
in this
the reason
case.
We, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Not in this particular case, but most of the time, yeah. Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, if you used to have nice things and you don't anymore, it's probably true.
Sorry about that.
That's true. right. So that's the first thing on our list. Moving on to the next list of updates. If you remember the world of ratings in Magic Online, those are back now. So you too can have a number that is determined by your win-loss ratio that will make you feel more or less adequate as a person. So that is up. That went up last week on October 22nd. So you can go look at your ratings. That's only Magic Online. It's not like the old system that we had prior to Magic Online, or rather prior to the current Planeswalker point system. I don't think you actually get anything out of your ratings, but if I'm wrong, someone let me know. I don't think it's anything more than bragging rights. If you have any Innistrad online product lying around from that block and you're like, you know, I really want to redeem this, get on that. They're running out. And when they run out, you can't redeem it anymore. So also, I think there's actually a deadline on redeeming. Let me refer to my notes. Also, aside from the fact that all of these things are leaving the Magic Online store on Monday, November 3rd, this is really your last chance, so go bot running if you want to. That is redemption there. And so, yeah, the only other thing really of note there is that when you're looking over the list of updates to Magic Online and you just see the phrase last chance for redemption, you know that they might be angry at the way you talk about them on Twitter. So keep that in mind. Moving on to more fun things. Before more fun things, for all of you complaining on Twitter, they're actually hiring more people to the QC department. The quality engineering team is looking for some people to help out with the security assessments and static code analysis reviews on Magic Online. So if you're the smart guy who keeps complaining on Twitter that you could do it better, now's your chance to do it better. Again, all this is linked in the show notes. Like, continuing on, in the more fun area, we've got, because Halloween is here, we have the Spooky Sealed, which is a new format. Or, I don't know if they've done this before. Are you guys familiar with it?
I have no idea.
No
clue. All right, well, essentially it's, like, they're running with the jokes all the way, so this is a phantom event, ha 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 ha, which really just means that you don't actually get to keep the cards. But the Spooky Sealed consists of one pack of Odyssey, one pack of Torment, one pack of Judgment, two packs of Innistrad, and one pack of Dark Ascension. So here's a whole bunch of cards that were probably not meant to be played together, but they all do stuff with the graveyard, so it could be a lot of fun. And so it'll be a phantom event. Its start time is the Wednesday, October 29th downtime, and then 1 week later on November 5th, it'll go away again. It's all limited, it's sealed, and it's 10 packs to enter or 16 phantom points. For entering, you get a Taunus coffin. And if your prize for winning it is, yeah, if you get 3 wins in this tournament, you will get 24 phantom points and a foil Taunus coffin. Now, clues, is Taunus coffin used in older formats, or is this just a neat thing to have?
No.
There's a card called Taunus coffin?
Exactly.
It's not good. A long time ago, like in the days of Inquest, if I remember Taunus's Coffin correctly, it was the source of a lot of goofy little like two-card combos.
Yeah.
But let's see. Yeah, because...
What's interesting is, this card is actually linked to a storyline plot point that occurred during the Brothers' War.
Yeah.
It's how Taunus survived essentially the destruction that killed Mishra.
And most everything else.
And nearly everything else. And ignited Urza's spark. Yep, never seen this card before in my life. Just now.
Well, since you don't know, and I don't imagine most people know, the short version of what this card does, it has a lot of text, but it comes down to, it's a 4-mana artifact, and it has the ability to... pay 3, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, 3 and tap it, and then you take a target creature exactly as is with all auras and counters and everything. Well, just auras and counters, actually. And you exile it.
But the game remembers what it had.
Yes, and then...
Which is unusual.
Later, when it jumps out of the coffin, because you can choose not to untap the coffin during your untap step, but whenever it becomes untapped or leaves the battlefield, the creature jumps out, tapped, but otherwise the same, with the auras and the counters still on it.
So...
I like how there's this weird intervening if clause in the Oracle text. Because you return the permanent that you exiled with all of its counters that you noted of the right kind, If you do, return the other exiled cards to the battlefield under their owner's control attached to that permanent.
So if someone pacified your creature and you threw it in the coffin and it comes out, it's still pacified and they still control the pacifism.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. I don't really know. I imagine they just picked it here because it's a coffin.
Spooky.
And couldn't we have used phasing instead?
You shut your face.
I don't think the Magic Online client could handle phasing just because the players would stare at it and go, what?
Why is this transparent? I don't get it. Or
it's the with a shout out card.
With a shout out to JudgeCast. Why is there a coffee mug on top of my card?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, they actually just animated cups sitting on top of the card for a turn.
Yeah.
It'd be neat. But yeah, so it's going to be one of those things where if you're playing it, you're probably playing it because it's the graveyard sets all together in one pool for probably the first time ever. And you don't really care about the coffin. It's Phantom, so you're not going to get to keep any, like, awesome Liliana of the Veils or anything you happen to open. Mostly this is actually just a for fun thing that you can do. I'm a little irked that it costs 10 tickets to do a Phantom event, because that seems extreme, since you don't get to keep anything.
Oh, or does it seem extreme?
No, that would be a positive extreme.
Drink Mountain Dew! What?
No, this is more like the unfortunate. Like, if this were like 4 tickets, maybe? Like, I don't know what the right price is on a Phantom event, but I'm pretty sure winning more Phantom points is not a big incentive to spend real money. Or at least as close to real money as tickets are gonna get. But either way, it looks fun. I'll probably do one of them just for giggles. I mean, I like graveyard sets. I wish you could keep the cards, obviously, because these sets have awesome stuff in them, but, you know, who doesn't want wishes? And, yeah, so that's the spooky sealed event.
Can I wish for more wishes?
Nope. Yes.
Actually, you can.
Oh. As it turns out, with the red sideboard, you can. The other thing of note, so they're working on this bug. Like, as we all know, Magic Online has a number of bugs in it. In the case of one of them in particular that a lot of people have complained about, if the very first thing that you do when you open Magic Online is you immediately go over to your collection and start a trade, you know, you open your trade binder, some of the right-click menus don't work. They just go away. This is an annoying problem, and it will be fixed in the November 5 update. In the meantime, if you want to trade now, there's a way to work around it, which is you just go to something else first and then go back. So,
which is kind of sad that they have to tell people that, because you'd think that'd be something people just try.
Yeah, so pretty much the actual text is, this issue only occurs if trade binders are the first place that a user navigates to after opening Magic Online. If you're not currently able to see right-click context menus within trade binders, remain in the collection scene, open another deck, and the context menu should be visible again. So it's pretty much telling you to troubleshoot it the way you troubleshoot everything else on your computer, which is to click on something else and then click back on it. They know it's a problem, they're fixing it, but that's your freebie frustration fighting thing for the week. And finally, maybe the reason they have to tell you that here is because if this happens to happen to you, I don't know, within 24 hours of this podcast recording, and you go to the Magic Online community site or the Magic Online customer help or the Magic Online homepage, it's down.
Yeah.
They're having a regularly scheduled outage, and it will be down until 10 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday the 28th. So if you're listening to this before then and you want to go see a 404 page, go for it. Double Thip is probably there. It'll be awesome.
Oh yeah, 404.
If it's after that point, it should be back. During this time, however, you can still get help from the numerous other resources, including the Magic Online Twitter account. If you're signed into Magic Online, you can talk to the orcs. They are friendly people who do not at all kill Bob from accounting. And on top of all of that, you can also still put in your reimbursement request and your issue reports. You're just not going to have anything back until they're done fixing it. This should be pretty quick. You know how the internet works. Things go down sometimes.
So can I mention something tangentially related to the last 2 points?
Yes.
So in addition to MTGO being down, like all the WotC servers are down for maintenance. So were, you know, the thing that runs tournaments, that doesn't work right now. So if your shop was running an event tonight, Monday, no, they weren't. Well, they could. They just had to run it on paper by hand. You can do pairings by hand. You can calculate tiebreakers by hand. It's all there in the Magic tournament rules. It's really annoying, but it can be done. And speaking of bugs and were, and there are many, we encountered a fun one over the weekend that I've seen before. If you're ever, this is for all you judges out there, if you're ever running were for a competitive event and you're trying to enter penalties and the penalties tab just disappears, there is a workaround for that. Just go Google were missing penalties tab. And like the first hit will tell you how to make it appear if it's not there in the first place. And there you just have to enter some judges in the event. Otherwise, there's no penalties tab. And then like the second or third hit gives you the workaround for this. So just putting it out there.
Yes, all of those things.
Hooray.
Okay, can we be done now?
Yes.
I hope.
Nope, because there's one more thing I have to mention.
Oh, no.
Actually, two more things.
Oh,
so,
no,
they're very quick. One, my favorite Grand Theft Auto game was San Andreas, by far. Mind you, okay. I haven't played 5 yet, but between GTA 4 and GTA San Andreas, San Andreas was just so awesome. I loved it with all of my heart. It recently, as in this week, I think, was updated graphically, increased draw distance, better textures and whatnot, and put on Xbox Live Arcade. I don't know if it's on the PlayStation Network, because I don't have one, so screw you weird people. But... it was put on Xbox Live Arcade on the 360, I know. Maybe on the Xbox One too, I don't know. And you'd think GTA, a full GTA game fully redone and games on demand, not the Live Arcade, games on demand, I'm sorry. You'd think it would be really expensive. From what I understand, it is $3.75.
Ooh.
I have no idea if that's a special sale price, you know, look, just came out, or if that's just what it's gonna be. But considering usually something like that is around 10 or 15, if you've never played San Andreas and you like Grand Theft Auto games, go get it.
That is less than the cost of a single pack that will probably have a disappointing rare.
Yup. So, yeah, you're not going to get a Fetch or a Siege Rhino or a Dig Through Time in that particular pack. Trust me on this. I'm a podcaster.
The game, however, might give you a tank.
Yes, there is actually a code for that. I just don't know what it is, but that's what Google's for. And the other thing is, I saw earlier today on YouTube in my, like recommended or what you should watch or what's it called? What to watch, I think. I saw something amazing. It was a review by, Pro Jared, who is a YouTuber, game reviewer, let's player, that kind of thing. He used to be with ScrewAttack.com, I'm pretty sure. But he no longer is now. He does his own thing, and he's part of the normal Boots, like YouTube channel network thing, whatever you call it. But in my watch later, not watch later, what to watch, I saw Pro Jared, : Magic the Gathering. And I was like, what? And he put it up, 5 days ago. I'll put the link in the show notes. What he's doing, and he's a video game YouTuber, but he talks about how, back in the day, lots of things that weren't video games took up his time, including Magic. And he goes on to review, like give a serious, you know, retro review of the old Microprose, Magic the Gathering video game, which was like a Magic RPG, but with actual Magic in it. Like you were playing Magic with Magic cards in this game. And I know that Mike, my Maniple co-host, loved this game and played the holy living crap out of it. So anyone who is at all curious, the link is in the show notes, or just Google Pro Jared Magic the Gathering. Pro Jared is one word. And watch that, because it is really good. I watched it right before we started recording with my mouth hanging open. So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
that exists.
A good thing for things to do.
Yeah. So those are the two things I wanted to throw out real quick before we got finished. He also weighs in with his opinion on the Duels of the Planeswalkers franchise, but take that with a grain of salt. All right then. Oh, in other news, last week I had a productive week. I got a new random card video up featuring again Manipool co-host Mike. I got the next issue, episode of, TMP News posted. I ordered the tokens.
Ooh.
For the Kickstarter. I found the podcasting panel that I did at Tilt, which had been misplaced twice, it turns out, because I'm an idiot. And since we didn't record an episode of the Manipool, I put it up as, a bonus, episode. So if you're at all interested in podcasting, myself and Sean Ryan of the Alpha Counter website and podcast, and Kelly Hightower of the Mating Habits of the Modern Geek podcast, all sat around and discussed equipment and styles and what and why and where and who and all of that. And if you're at all interested in podcasting or how to do what we do, then I highly suggest you give it a listen. Because I know we all talked about some of the things that we had to learn over the years. Like, you know, even the simple things like, hey, look, there's a tool called Truncate Silence. And Clues, who taught me about auto-duck. Hey, how about that?
Auto-ducking is awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best word ever made.
This is right up there. So, yeah, that's that. Oh, and I've got another episode of GP Vegas almost done, as of right now. It's almost done. It will be up tomorrow sometime, along with this episode of Monday Night Magic. So if you're listening to this, and the new Three Questions Vegas isn't up yet, just wait a while. It'll be up shortly, because I'm going to do this first, because this is time sensitive. Vegas hasn't been time sensitive for like a year and a half now, so, you know.
I'm not going to announce the new one until you finish.
Well, okay, that's another thing. I did some calculations based on the number of files I have left, and not counting. So as of right now, I have 3 episodes of Vegas left. So the one that's almost done, and 2 others. And I'm going to try to monster them out over this week and next week and be done with them so that I can then start on DC and then Richmond. And we try to be done with as many of these as possible before I go to Jersey and do another one. Let's just put it that way. That reminds me, has Star City released any information, pre-reg numbers or anything about Jersey yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you'd think they would want to get the hype going since they've got enough judges on staff for like 6,000 people.
Yeah, actually, numbers, but... they staffed, if you look at the typical judge to player ratio, I think they've staffed for approximately 6,400 players.
Yeah, so you'd think they would be, I know that I said on Facebook the yes, I'm going, and I get an email in my inbox now every time Pete Huffling posts something in there. So, and he posts something in there about every other day. So there's hype, but posting things on a Facebook group doesn't really count, or a Facebook event, if you're not getting people to the Facebook event, which I can't remember. Let's go look how many people are there. Bam. Just any day now. Come on, Facebook, you piece of slow crap. Hey.
Not the best guy.
Nope. Here we go, Jersey. So in the Facebook group, there are 544 people going. Holy mother of God. That's a lot for a Facebook thing, since a lot of people that are going will never see this page. So that's a thing. All right, then. Anyway, but I'll be there. I'm Mike. I've talked about Mike a lot in this episode. It's because I love him. Mike is almost certain he'll be going. So if you're a Manapool fan, then look for me and probably Mike, because we'll be there. He'll be playing. I'll be walking around with a taser, lighter, recorder. Zap your dumbass. And that's that. So, I think I'm going to get my slow play warning now. So, hey, or my game loss, actually. So, hey, Clues, you got anything at the end?
Yeah, we're going to have to give you a game loss for slow play.
Hell yeah, because I'm a loser, baby. So in why fact, don't you disqualify me?
In fact, let's just get it out of the way now. I'm going to disqualify you. I'm going to need you to write out a statement to tell your side of the story.
I am now butthurt.
You
Quick,
should see Bill.
Internet.
Yeah, you should see Bill. I believe he has something for that. So I'm sorry. Are we actually wrapping up the show? And I'm supposed to talk about contact info at this point?
If you want, yeah.
You mean I I don't have to? I'm really really confused here.
Well, no, you never have to. You just always do.
Oh, okay. But we are actually wrapping up. I didn't
yes.
imagine that part. Okay, good, fantastic. So. Let me say a couple of things real quick. First of all, I want to say a big, big thank you to all of the judges and the staff at Eternal Weekend. I had a great time hanging out with some old friends, made some new friends, folks I'd never met before. Hey, speaking of which, I met in person Robert Loggia himself.
Robert Loggia.
Angelo, and I didn't even know that's who I was talking to at first, because he just walked up to me on the street as we were trying to figure out which part. Because if you've never been to the Philly Convention Center, it's huge. It like spans like three or four blocks, and so we're trying to figure out where to go in. And so I just started talking to this guy. Turns out, Robert Loggia. So that was cool. It was nice to meet you, Angelo. I'm sorry I didn't get to spend much time with you, but we were a little understaffed on Saturday. It wasn't quite everything was on fire, but we were busy the whole darn day. But
Angelo, for the record, is pretty awesome.
He actually is.
He's a great guy. I met him and once and current again, Pit Imp's co-host Will in Pittsburgh, and yeah, they're pretty awesome.
And I met several listeners to this show and to Card Advantage. It was great to meet you all. And I also did get to meet Steve from the train, not Steve on the bus.
Yeah. For those that don't remember, that's Slick Jagger.
Yes.
Yeah, we had him on a month or two ago.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. So, again, thank you to all those folks. It was great. If you want to hear more of me, you can hear me just about every week on the Card Advantage podcast, hosted right here on the MTGCast network. Last week's episode, which got posted over the weekend, hopefully, I think that one got approved.
I approved it Friday night.
Okay, fantastic.
If not, it was Saturday.
Was the contest episode. You may remember if you listened, we had a contest a while back, so that's what this one was all about. I'll be posting those actual deck lists this week. We wanted to make it a surprise and force you to listen, so hopefully you did. If you want to see me in person, you can always catch me when I'm there and not at a different event over at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It is a great shop. You should check it out. I will also be at GP New Jersey along with Chewy.
Yay!
I'll be giving Chewy his L1 exam probably on Saturday.
I'm going to go ahead and shoot that idea down because I'll be working
that out. It will be awesome.
I hate
you. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes.
Yay. How about you, Squeezer?
I will be on Twitter at SweetGoblinNabob. No I in Goblin. I'm personally very much looking forward to seeing who our last two Planeswalker commanders are, because I'm pretty sure I'll be happy with whichever red one they go with, but seeing the other three makes me really hopeful. As far as the white one's concerned, I don't really know who they're going to go with. I mean, lots of talk of angels. I don't think it's going to be an angel, but it would be pretty cool if we got one anyway. Hopefully they won't just be another cat. We'll see. I think it would be pretty neat if in the future, though, we were to get, like, we have Tamio representing the Moonfolk. It'd be kind of neat if we were to go all the way around that cycle of Kamigawa races for Planeswalkers. Not just because it means we get a goblin, but mostly because we get a goblin. And in general, yeah, that's going to be great. I look forward to seeing more of these cards. I'm very glad that the commander set seems to be taking on the role that the core set was fulfilling this year, which is lots of cool cards that don't necessarily fit into flavor. And I could very much see that continue to be the case for these kinds of cards as we go into the new format after 2016 is over. So that's neat. I find it weird that we have three Obnixilus cards now. That's just weird.
Well, that's fine. We've got like 12 Jaces and 8 Garrick's, whatever.
We have three Obnixiluses, and yet we still need to have more Squee. Yeah, I've only got like 12 cards.
And there's no Goblin Planeswalker yet.
Maybe tomorrow. You know.
So, yeah. In the Love Letter to Vorthos article on the Mothership today, I'm reading Mike. There's Mike again. Mike's post in the Manapool forums. They're explaining how the Planeswalkers were designed and how characters were chosen. He started hoping real hard for Jaya Ballard as the red one. Then again, their comment of a character you know but maybe not by name for the red one might mean something else. So,
I'm really hoping for Jaya Ballard.
Wait, what does it say again? A character you might know, but
a character you know but maybe not by name.
Huh? Tybalt? Nobody knows his name.
What?
Who? So,
her? It'd be weird if he got a Planeswalker card.
Mike's prediction, just while we're on it, was the, he says Geomancer, but he means the Lithomancer who helped trap the Eldrazi so long ago, that character that people are aware of, but not really. But I don't think that's a red card to me, so.
I think it might be the cousin who is being launched after the previous cousin was launched. Nice. I don't know their name, but I know all about them.
Step three. Anyway. So is that you guys?
Yep.
Yep.
Word. And for me, you can find me right here on Monday Night Magic the vast majority of the time, or everything else I do you can find over on themanapool.com. I highly recommend you check that out frequently. And you should probably go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is The Manapool Tube. Get it? Pool Tube? Didn't mean it when I did that. Now it's funny.
So. Yay!
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, it was Bill who pointed it out to me, and I was like, ah! I didn't, it wasn't on purpose.
It's like toothpaste.
Oh, that's gross. So, yes, if more relevant news happens, I haven't actually thought about it to see if there's enough to do one this week. But if more relevant news happens, I will record another TMP News and put it up. So, yay! So, oh, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheManapool. Send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com. And that's all I've got. So, this has been another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all very much for listening, and go play some magic.